May what I speak, may what you hear, be in the name of the God of love, who creates, redeems, sustains every single one of us. Amen. Please be seated. Listen to this. This is a quotation from the American spiritual writer Rob Bell. I put the words on the service sheet. Don't look at it. Wait till later. But listen to this. Rob Bell. He says, "Everybody is following somebody. Everybody has faith in something and somebody. We're all believers. As a Christian, I'm simply trying to orient myself around living a particular kind of way, the kind of way that Jesus taught is possible. And I think that the way of Jesus is the best possible way to live. This isn't irrational or primitive or blind faith. It is merely being honest that we're all living a way. I'm convinced that being generous is a better way to live. I'm convinced that forgiving people and not carrying around bitterness is a better way to live. I'm convinced that having compassion is a better way to live. I'm convinced pursuing peace in every situation is a better way to live. I'm convinced listening to the wisdom of others is a better way to live. I'm convinced being honest with people is a better way to live. This way of thinking isn't weird or strange. It is simply acknowledging that everybody follows somebody, and I'm trying to follow Jesus." It's wonderful, isn't it? And true. And today, and the reason I share that quotation with you, today, Palm Sunday, is the day when we're asked to resolve yet again to follow Jesus. You know, in every other church I have served, in every other church I have served or gone to, the Palm Sunday services don't begin in here. Do you know? They begin out there. Have you ever been to one of those services? In most churches, in every church I have been, at the beginning of the service, the priest stands up and says, "Everybody outside." And everybody is asked to get up out of their seats and go outside the church. And then everybody's given one of these little crosses, these palm crosses. And the priest blesses the crosses. And then we strike up a hymn. And we all process back into the church. Such a shame we don't do it here. And I'm not quite sure why. I guess maybe there isn't enough room outside, maybe. Or usually it's quite cold outside. Or usually on Palm Sunday there's still ice outside. But not today. So maybe we'll do it next year. Maybe we'll do it next year. In any case, the point of that going outside and then coming back in a procession, is to make the point that we're following. We are following Jesus. It's a reenacting of that episode we read about, I just read about in today's gospel. It's a reenacting of Jesus coming into Jerusalem on a donkey and then all of us following after him like his disciples did 2,000 years ago. It's beautiful. And it's a powerful reminder of that choice we have. As Rob Bell said, we're all following, we're all in someone's procession. The only question is whose? Is it Jesus's? Or is it somebody else's? But before you make up your mind which procession to join, who to follow, let me tell you a bit more about the choices we have. Let me tell you about the choices. See, in that gospel reading I read, we read about one choice, one procession, Jesus' procession into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday. But biblical scholars will tell you that it's very likely that there was another procession, a second procession making its way into Jerusalem on that same day, or near enough to that same day. So let me tell you about those two processions and about the choice they put before us. I say the first one is the one I just read, Luke chapter 19, and that procession came from the east, came from the Mount of Olives, we're told. And that procession was, by all accounts, a jubilant, happy, noisy, maybe even slightly chaotic affair. At the head of that procession was Jesus sitting on a, well, Matthew says a donkey. Did you notice Luke said a colt? Either way, a young animal, a young horse or a donkey. And as Jesus entered Jerusalem, the crowds came out to greet him. In fact, so overcome with joy were these crowds that they spread their cloaks on the road before him, and they sang this song, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." And then after Jesus on the colt or the donkey came his entourage, came us. After Jesus came that ragbag bunch of followers which he had gathered together in Galilee. Peasants, fishermen, sinners, the poor, all caught up in this moment of hope and expectation and joy. That was the first procession. But as I say, if you read the biblical scholars, they'll tell you it's very likely there was another procession entering Jerusalem around the same time. And that other procession was very, very, very different. For one thing, this other procession came from the opposite side of the city, came from the west. And at the head of this procession was not a man on a colt or a donkey, but a Roman governor on a war horse. The man on the war horse leading the other procession was Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Idumea, Judea, and Samaria. And his procession was a military march as he led his battle-hardened troops up to Jerusalem. You see, for most of the year, Pontius Pilate didn't live in Jerusalem. He didn't live there. He lived 60 miles away on the coast. It was cooler there, quieter there, nicer there. He lived in a rather splendid new city called Caesarea Maritima, Caesarea by the sea. Even sounds nice. But at Passover time, Pontius Pilate had to leave his rather nice coastal property, and he had to come back to the capital. Not to take part in the festival, of course, of Passover, not at all, but to make sure there was no trouble at the festival and to keep an eye on the locals. Passover, remember, was the Jewish celebration of freedom from empire. Passover was about celebrating how God had led the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the Promised Land. And the parallels, the obvious parallels between back then under Pharaoh and here and now under the Roman Emperor, those parallels were not lost, either on the Jews or on the Roman occupiers. And so it was standard practice for lots of extra troops to be brought into Jerusalem at Passover to remind the locals, to remind them who was boss. So picture in your mind's eye, if you will, this second procession, this Pontius Pilate procession. The heavily armed troops marching in orderly formation. The golden eagles, the Roman golden eagles held high on the imperial standards. The flags of empire fluttering in the breeze. And the locals? The locals, I imagine, not singing, no, standing by, watching, silent, resentful, fearful. Imagine, too, the sounds of that procession, that other procession. Not Hosanna, not singing songs of praise to God. No, just the marching of feet. Just the creaking of the leather uniforms. The clinking of the horses' bridles. Probably the beating of a drum as they march along. So two processions into one city. But two processions that could hardly be more different. One designed to glorify the Roman emperor. At the time, the Roman emperor was Tiberius, and Tiberius liked lots of nice titles for himself. Some of the titles he gave himself were Son of God, Tiberius, Lord, Tiberius, Savior, Tiberius, the one who brings peace on earth, Tiberius. Yeah, peace at the point of a sword. And the other procession, carefully orchestrated by Jesus, the true Son of God, the true Savior, the true bringer of peace. Peace by reconciliation, not by domination. In other words, what we have here is one procession where people are held in check by fear and threat, and the other one where people are freed by forgiveness and love. One procession embodying the power, control, and violence of empire, and the other procession embodying a different way of living, a kingdom of God, a kingdom of God, of the world as God would have it. One procession led by Pontius Pilate. Remember him? The man who took the bowl of water later in the week and washed his hands of all responsibility. The other one led by Jesus, the man who also took a bowl of water later in the week, but used it to wash the feet of those he loved. And that's the choice. That's the choice. Jesus or the Pilates of this world in all their many forms. Because make no mistake, whether consciously or unconsciously, we're all following someone. The only question is who. And so this Holy Week that we're about to begin is our annual invitation to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus. As on this Palm Sunday, he shows us that true greatness is to be found not in the lust for power, but in a passion for peace. To follow Jesus, as in the upper room on Thursday, on Maundy Thursday, he will take the bread, indeed take his life in his hands, and break it open and share it with us. And to follow Jesus, when on Good Friday, on the cross, he will show us once and for all the lengths that love will go to save us. So, we may not have had a procession into church this morning, next year, but we do have our palm crosses, and we do have a choice. So if you would hold up your palm crosses, I will say the prayer of blessing over them now. Let us pray. God our Savior, whose Son, Jesus Christ, entered Jerusalem as Messiah to suffer and to die, let these palm crosses be for us signs of his victory, and grant that we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as our King and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You see, everybody is following somebody. Let's try to follow Jesus. Amen. Amen.